it was like, amen, when the Spirit of the Lord moved on me and I danced and I shouted. Let me tell you, whatever pleasure is out there in the world, it's nothing compared to joy unspeakable and full of glory.
How the devil will absolutely torment you. Do you think you're going to go to hell and never feel tormented? Amen. You know what's going on in your mind right now. You know the pressure. You know the way the devil talks. You know the way the devil drives you. Amen. He tells you you cannot quit. You cannot get free. You cannot ever get rid of the devil. You cannot ever break the habit. Can you imagine what he will be like in hell?
Amen. The number one main thing is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we must preach with a burden that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from all sin.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to Holiness Preaching Online podcast. Here is a great sermon from a great Pentecostal holiness preacher.
If we ask believing, hallelujah, appreciate God, appreciate what we've already heard, appreciate what we've already felt. Hallelujah, what an honor it is to have Brother and Sister Gabbard with us, and they're no strangers to any of us. Hallelujah, he has been a blessing to our movement for years. Hallelujah, he has affected, his ministry has affected a lot of our lives. Don't we appreciate Brother and Sister Gabbard? We appreciate them. We want him to come and preach to us this morning. Just deliver his heart. Do whatever he feels. Brother Gabbard.
It's always a privilege to be here at the meeting here at Dryden Road. I ain't got 3 days to figure that out. Amen. Appreciate what I've heard. The encouragement that has been offered, and the affirmation of what God is still doing among his people. And I appreciate where Brother Bill Finley was at yesterday when he came up here. I've been talking to my son Brent. I've been kicking around in my mind this thought for, in fact, I've carried it into two meetings that I didn't touch it when I got there, and it's the only thing that I brought with me. I knew I could pull rank on Brother Gary Lee, and I said, I'm tired. I've been in meetings since the first of the year. I'm just tired, and I just want to come and sit. And he said he agreed to that. But he said, now I'm not the final authority. So if you just wasn't here last night, or if you was here, you noticed that the man didn't ask me, he just told me. And since about 35 years ago, I gave him the permission to tell me anything he wanted to ask me anything he wanted to, anytime he wanted to. And there was a time, at least once it comes to my mind, that I had made my mind up what I was going to do as a pastor and in a situation. And I got a phone call from Dayton. And that wasn't the way it's going to be. No. And yes, sir. All right. We'll do it that way. Of course, Sister Gabbard's standing there. I don't know what she was expecting. But when I hang the phone up, she was laughing. And I said, what are you laughing about? And she said, there ain't another man on the face of the earth could talk to you like that and get by with it. But I gave him that permission. So I'm here today, and I have appreciated what I have felt and seen in the meeting, and expecting God to do great things in the future. I believe in the Holiness Church. I believe in the Last Day Church. I believe there will be a revival of pure holiness and the power of God, and souls will be saved in the last day. Now, if I didn't believe that, I would not be out here at my age and dragging Ann across the country preaching. But I believe it. And I certainly appreciated what I've heard today, because, and I marveled in a way, and then I thought, well, that's God. That's you, Lord. When the Spirit gets in a meeting, and every preacher's mind flows the same way, and the altar's same the same way, you know God has put his hand on that meeting. Amen. And given us a seal of authenticity. I just want to read today. Now, hurriedly get out of the way. I don't know what he's got planned here. But I want to go to the book of Psalms, first of all. Psalm number 11. And this may be shotgun preaching. I don't know. But anyway, I want to look here with you at verse number 3. Very familiar scripture. Preached on it probably better than I will. But it's a launching pad. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All right. I want to preach on foundations today. All right. I want to change that just a little bit. And I want to say to us, if the foundations are destroyed, where has the church failed? What allowed the foundations to be shaken? Amen. Now, for any building to be right, the foundation has to be right. I was thinking about this morning, knowing Brother Darren would be here. They built my house the first time. When they first built that little house, they built it and completed it, and we gave us a key in 6 weeks. And they measured, they squared the foundation. And when the last thing was done on the roof, they pulled the tape again. And from the foundation, you remember, to the top, less than 1 inch deviation from square. The foundation must be true, or the whole building eventually will crumble. Amen. And if the foundations are not laid right in every generation, this thing is so construed that every generation has got to pray it through for themselves. We've made a grave mistake by trying to give this generation the answers when we ought to simply give them the book and tell them to get in the book. Amen. Because you've got to pray it through for yourself. Amen. There is trouble when the foundation is not built upon a solid foundation of doctrinal truths. The blueprint, if you will. Amen. The pattern laid out for the experience. The problem, first of all, is fundamentally in the hour we're living in, sin. Without a right conception of sin, we cannot have a right doctrine. I've traveled across this country now for 3 years. And I dare say that I could preach on one, count on one hand all the sermons that I've heard on hell. Some way, somehow, we've allowed the foundational structures, amen, to be moved away until, amen, hell is more a myth than anything else. But I want you to understand this morning, sin is still sin, no matter how you dress it, no matter how you change it. Amen, in the pull down sermons by the hundreds, and you'll not find anything on sin or on hell. Seemed like for the last 30 years, they've moved it away. But as sure as there is a heaven to go to, there's a hell you're going to have to shun. And it's still the old crossroad and the way called straight. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It still kills. Amen. We are, in order for us to be right in the end, brother, I'll tell you what, though, only the one fear that I have The fear that I have more than anything else right now at my age is standing before the judgment seat of Christ and giving account of the deeds that I've done in this body. Not just what I've done, but the motive I had by why I did it. Amen. I got to explain to him, amen, why that I lost that sheep. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Theoretically, we as holiness people have stood upon the platform of salvation in three works of grace. Hello. There must still be a justification for the just. There must be a justification. And then there must be an experience, a definite experience of entire sanctification. If that truth, though it is controversial, though it has been played down and thought in 100 ways, if that is not truth, then there is no foundation. That stone is gone out of the way. If there is no possibility of heart purity in the hour that we're living in, if there's no possibility of living victorious over the world and the flesh and the devil, what are we doing? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Amen. And then there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And fastly disappearing. Brother Sutherland, when you made the circuit around the country and fought so valiantly for the sanctified life, even then, there were those preachers that behind your back would make light. Huh? Watch out, you're about to lose your sanctification. I'm going to tell you something. These basic doctrines, these carnal doctrines, are not to be joked about. They're not to be made fun of. But when we begin to lose that, help me, Holy Ghost. I just felt him breathe on me. When we begin to lose that, we begin to lose the real genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until across this country right now, the places I'm going, I'm afraid to ask them to raise their hand, because many times fully half of the people that are in that congregation that have been claimed to be saved for a long time do not have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am not Holy Ghost or nothing, but I want you to understand it was not a suggestion. It was a commandment. Go ye and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. There must be a waiting for that endowment. And as we've lost that endowment, amen, we've lost the desire. You see, it's like this. Amen. That experience must become a launching pad from which the whole doctrine ascends into the heavenlies. And when it does not, when all it becomes is a historical document, a part of our history. Could I tell you this would be sweet? When all your testimony is how the church, what the church used to have, you're already dead. You're dying. Amen. Well, I used to sing a song, "The good old days are all past and gone. I couldn't call them back if I tried. But the God who walked in those good old days is walking right along with my side." Amen. He's the same as always. And when you get holy enough, and when you get humble enough, when you get hungry enough, the Holy Ghost is ready to rain righteousness on us in this latter day. Oh, yes. The preacher has quite eloquently told us of the dangers you are facing. One man said to me, "Preacher, don't you think I can go to heaven without the Holy Ghost?" I said, "You going today?" For my friend, I don't want to go to Walmart without the Holy Ghost helping me and guiding me and keeping his hand on me. Amen. But you see, if we don't, all of that is necessary. The mountains are shaking. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. As a preacher said, I have been challenged on everything I've preached, on everything I have believed. I've had to pray it through again and reaffirm, this is what I stand on. Here I live or here I die. But the danger is that it becomes a part of our history and nothing more. They tell me that you can no longer, they tell me that you can no longer stop in Cleveland and buy any of the old sermons. They tell me, I was just told, and I've not verified it, but except by word of mouth, but I was just told not long ago that in the Church of God, the old redback hymnal has been removed from all of their churches. They are they're as fast as they can getting them out. Of course, they're singing with their letters on the wall. But the real reason is they don't want that young generation to start singing those old-time songs and start wondering why it ain't happening now. Hallelujah. My God. Amen. When they sing there, amen, before sin, a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. For the Church of God and those affiliating of them, the old doctrines are now nothing but history. That's part of their history. But I want you to know right here and right now, I'm not going that way. I'm not backing up in that direction. I realize, I'm going to tell you something, there's more gospel in that red back hymnal, amen, than all they're preaching anywhere. Some of these songs they're singing today, I told them the other day, makes me wonder if they're singing to God or their girlfriend. Amen. You can't wonder what's going on. But I tell you what, I still like the old time gospel. Amen. I like that twin flow that flows from Calvary. Amen. I still believe, amen, that the doctrines that are fundamental. Hallelujah. And we must continue to believe those doctrines when we fail to preach them. Amen. They will no longer be an experience. But having said that, I don't want to just keep repainting the post. I want the passion that painted the post the first time. I want a rebirth in a young generation. That passion, that spirit of adventure, that do or die. And it's found in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, help us God today. You see, when the doctrines, I still say with the apostle, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is still the power of God. I still believe the word of God preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost without fear or favoritism still brings revival. It still brings conviction. It still brings deliverance. Oh God, help us. When we stop preaching it, there'll be no hunger to know that experience. Amen. I'm here to tell you there is a sin killing, devil delivering from salvation that'll take the want to out of you. Amen. It'll take the want to out of you. You won't have to still wonder about, this or that or the other. You won't be stopping to see us before that picture frame down at the mall and looking at something that you never would have been right in a holiness church to start with. Hey, amen. The want to will go out of you. If you're still wondering whether I can do this and do that, hey, amen, when you have to say how much can I do and still get on the rostrum, you are already. We start questioning. We start asking how much, how little I can do. You're already on the road to backsliding. Amen. It's not how little. I want to know how much more I can do. I want to know, Lord, what can I do to have more power with you? More of anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me. Amen. More deliverance in our churches. Hallelujah. Yeah. problems today. Oh, I understand. I've never seen so much talent. I've never seen such ability. I've never seen any more greater orators than some of our schools are turning out. They can preach a beautiful sermon. And in the day we're living in with all the electronic advantages, all you got to type in and print out. And man, you've got you an outline. My friend, we don't need a book report. Amen. We don't need to describe a scribe to telling us how what he's read. But oh God, hallelujah, for the prophet who'll tell me, I've been on the mountaintop, and thus saith the Lord in the hour that we're living in. Oh, help us God this morning. You see, for many in the hour we're living in, preaching has become an art, but there is no heart, and you can't fake a burden. Amen. The beautiful, I've watched them across the country, my brother, the beautiful sermons, the great sermons, and they seem like the camp meeting has become a shop window where we display our gifts, and the question is to go away. Who sang it down? Who preached the biggest message of the meeting? Amen. It's not what kind of an altar we had. I've watched them preach their messages, but I've watched the altar. I told them somewhere the other day, don't pat me on the back and tell me how I preached. Amen. When the altar is empty. Preaching is meant to push us to a place where we examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. We measure to the word of God. And when we come back to an altar and say, oh God, and I speak as a fool, but I tell you, I spend more time on my face in the carpet in my upper room now than I ever have, for I fear the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want those works, amen, being burnt up. I've heard them testify, and I know what they're saying. If I can just make it through, well, the best we can do, we're going to all just make it through. But I don't want to stand there that day with nothing. I want to say, here's what you gave me, and here's what I've done with it, and have something there on that day. And that's why, Brother Roger, I am running the last mile of the way. I'm trying to do the best I can. Oh God, you see, we're bringing them into the ministry who have never ever prayed it through and experienced a real heart sanctifying that didn't just cut down the tree but ripped up the roots. Amen. Calvinistic doctrines preach backsliding, living in sin. We deny the doctrine but live the experience in too many of our churches in the hour we're living in. We've got it some way figured out, as you said, that in the end it's going to all be all right anyway. But when you take it back down and it didn't start right, it can't end right. Amen. Oh, dear God, if the preacher, and it starts with us, if the preacher does not have a clean heart, he can't preach heart purity. I'd rather die as bring a reproach upon this. The mountains are crumbling and they're saying you're going to flee away from it. But I'm here to tell you, it was what worked then. Ezekiel in the 13th chapter, God talks about those that built a wall with untempered mortar. They dabbed that wall with untempered mortar. One built it, another dabbed upon it. I like what you said, preacher. There ain't a lot of people got enough guts to say it right now. But we're tooting and buying, and our bookshelves are full of John MacArthur and others of his caliber, and I speak nothing about the man's character. But if he's got a right to tell the world that speaking in tongues is of the devil, that it's wrong, then I got a right to say, Mister, you're wrong. Amen. The book is still the book. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll start moving away just a little at a time, drifting. Amen. Without hardly knowing it. Hey, listen, I'm going across the country, and I am not the police chief, amen, of the wholeness movement, but I am going to churches that little by little, the hymn line's creeping up again, little by little. Amen. We're taking on the things of the world, the hairstyles of the world. Little by little, we're filled up with their latest fashion. Now, if you've grown a beard all your life, I got no fight with it. I got no Bible, had a mustache. I don't. But I'm telling you something. When you put that on for the wrong reason, you are walking in pride. I felt a cold breeze right then. But I'm telling you what. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, hey man, why? Hey man, I'm preaching on a right foundation. Hey man, he said, if the foundation be destroyed, if they are destroyed in our hour, it's going to be us that allows it. I'm not going to do anything else. Hey man, other foundation can no man lay. That which is laid. I'm standing on the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here I stand. Hallelujah. Oh God. All these foundations of false sanctuaries built by the winds of false doctrine. It seems like all you've got to do, and I'm trying to hurry. They hung that chandelier where you can't see the clock. But it seems like all you've got to do is call it a controversy, and we drop it. Come, let us reason together. Amen. Controversial to who? Give me chapter and verse for it. The battle's over. The Bible's right. Now if you've went so way off somewhere and got some new revelation, and don't unchristianize me because I ain't there, because you wasn't always there. And I ain't going there till I make sure, amen, that new doctrine that you took off with, amen, that's how it happens. One builds a wall, another taps it up. Till after a while, we've got this great monster called the charismatic renewal that came out of the depths of hell and was burst, amen, by demons across the country. Amen. Listen, there's nothing but old time, heartfelt, Holy Ghost salvation going to heaven in that hour. There is no sin going there. Amen. If you die in your sins, he said, where I am, you cannot come. Oh, God. Oh, but he said, all of these, he said, I'll send a wind and it'll blow. Many, many, many years ago, I was in McKaysville, Georgia, little old independent church, staying there away from my family and away from everybody, and the pastor had to work, and I was there alone all day, that little old boxed-in trailer, and I was praying. And some of these TV broadcasts that shot up like a meteorite were just spreading across like wildfire. And people were embracing it. One preacher had made a statement that any old barn looked better with a little paint on it. And I was there that day, William. And I said, Lord, how can a little old 2x4 preacher from the hills of Kentucky do anything against what he said, as he's the rising star, the greatest, most eloquent man I ever listened to, putting out thousands of songs. How can I come? What will my ear? And I speak as a fool. But the Lord spoke to me right then and right there. And he said, the stars are going to fall. I'm going to shake the heavens, and these are going to fall. And he called one man by name. And said, shortly, he will be caught in a vicious, immoral scandal. I told that night to them church, I was young then, I told that to the church, I thought they were going to take up stones and stone me. The revivals might as well have been over because I'd done kill the sacred cow. And I told one other fella, and he told his father-in-law, and his father-in-law happened to be Charles Barnett. Charles told me many years later when I got to be his friend, he said, I wrote down, I don't know John Gabbard, but he said this. And he said, when it come to pass, I said, but I said that to say this. This is what, listen to me. He said, when this happens, it'll leave a bunch of people disillusioned, discouraged, and nowhere to go. But he said, if you will be faithful to the message, I'll make your voice so much like my voice that the wounded sheep will come looking for a shepherd. Now I want to prophesy something right here. Part of this, I feel like the Lord dealt with me. Part of this revival that we're going to see is backsliders coming back. Genuine backsliders coming back. But a lot more of it is going to be those who have fallen down as the wall collapsed and they were left with nothing and they are going to go. They're going to come looking for. They've already had the quote unquote outward emotional experience and they're going to look for that. They're going to look for it. And so church, it is absolutely mandatory that we keep our song, that we keep our shout, that we keep our worship, but above all, that we keep ourselves sanctified and our doors open, for they're going to come looking for something, and I'm looking for that. You're going to look up and say, hey, they ain't looking like us right now, amen, but they're looking for something. We've got the answer. We are the answer, amen. So all time, Holy Ghost Church is still the answer. These new solution people can find. It's happening now. They tell me that every 6 months, the mega churches has to have a new influx of members because the old have got sick and disillusioned and went away. I'd like for them some way, somehow to know, amen, there is still a real, genuine Holy Ghost experience. There's still a peace that passes all understanding. There's still a keeping force in the midst of the storm. Amen. And you've got it. Amen. Oh, church, we must find again the divine pattern that was shown in the Mount of God and build again the old waste places that have been torn down. Become a repairer of the breach. All right. Enlarging the foundations of New Testament holiness. Building a safe refuge out of the polished stones of right living and right doctrine for them to come into. I've shared this with many since I heard it. I was telling Brother Gallagher and those at the table the other night. Before, not too many years before B.H. Clendenin died, he was preaching and teaching at First Pentecostal in their mission conference. And he told this. I wasn't there, but I heard it, and I went to the pastor and got the CD. For in that message, he told, preaching and teaching on the end time, he told that, he said, in 1955, I met a lady in her 80s. And she told me as I interviewed her that she was instrumental in helping to found the First Assembly of God in Los Angeles, California. And it was 22 or 23 years after Azusa Street. And they were able, she said, to secure the services of Smith Wigglesworth. And she said Smith Wigglesworth came there and held a meeting that for 20 blocks around, folks were moved and came. But she said in the midst of that meeting, he gave this prophecy. He said, very soon, this body will lay down and be dormant and appear dead. It'll lay that way until the 1940s and maybe the early 50s, he said. And he said, then there'll be a new surge of life and the body will stand up and the emphasis will be upon miracles and divine healing and the power of God, the Holy Ghost. And he said, once again, this world will see a sweeping across the world of revival. Tent meetings and cathedrals and hundreds and hundreds. He said, but then, because of the like of what I've been talking about and you preached about today, he said, there'll become a degeneration, a division, a dividing among them. Mass confusion will reign until just before the coming of the Lord. And then just before the coming of the Lord, God will send another revival. But not in the big cathedral, not down the sawdust trail, but in the small grassroots holiness people that have held the standard through the years. And in that, and the more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, that's why we've got to have this. Because they're going to come. They're going to come looking for something. And we've got to have the reality of the power of God in our lives again. This foundation will stand sure. The mountains will fall. They're falling all around us. Everything we thought the American dream died or became a nightmare. Our churches, too many times in the hour we're living in, are nothing more than an aquarium. And we forgot how to be fishers of men. We ain't having revival when they leave my church and come to your church. Boy, I felt a cold breeze on that. Revival will come when you go into the highways and the byways and find the halt and the lame and the crippled and the blind and bring them into the house of God. And you're not going to do that until you're settled with a certainty that this is what's right. And I've embraced it. And it's embraced me. Amen. I want to say one of the things. I hurry and get out of the way. I wasn't going to say it. And then my brother made it so much a part of his message this morning. Don't get distracted. We are sitting on the edge of breaking out in revival. We've already won some battles. We're seeing a wind of change. But that was during that time last year when I was so sick, laying there in that rich recliner, I got some messages coming by my way. Pray, baby, I say this right. I want to. Paul talking about something with tears. I heard how that good men were dividing and becoming distracted over what's not going to matter 5 or 10 years from now anyway. And laying there, God dealt with my heart. And he said, go back and read again 2 Kings. And I started with reading, and you can read it for yourself. I haven't got time. Josiah comes to the throne at 8 years old. 22nd and 23rd chapters talks about the great reformation that he wrought. How that he done two great things that brought revival into that country again. First of all, he gave them the word again. And secondly, he taught them how to worship. And the Bible said that he held a Passover that had never been held since the days of judgment. A great move that he had. And then I've read it and I've studied and I've thought about it and I do not understand why. The king of Egypt moved against his enemy. And Josiah led his armies out there and picked a fight with that Egyptian king when he said, don't come up here. This ain't your fight. Don't get involved in this. God is on my side. And he went up there and he got himself killed. And a revival died with the king. All because he got distracted by something other than what he was called to do. We need to come back to the cross. We need to come back to the hill where the ground runs level. And we all come there. And somehow, some way, if we don't get back to the centrality of this thing, we're going to keep killing each other and sacrificing our kids. God help us. Don't get distracted. Don't give up. Don't back up. Brother, mind your personality. It might never be the same. But I want to worship with you if you'll let me. I don't want personality differences to cause us to be separated. When we got a common enemy. We got a common enemy. The foundation is not going to be destroyed as long as I can preach this book. This book is right. And whatever thing is shaking around me, and brother, I want you to know there have been some times lately when it is shook. But when it does, I just grab the book. This is the book. Amen. And I'm going to stand on the book. You know what's going to happen? God's going to do it again. God's going to do it again. Amen. He stands right now ready to pour out upon us the greatest move of God we've ever seen. Amen. If you'll just become humble enough, let your faith go and believe God. God is wanting to do it. And we're going to see. Amen. I want to be part of it. I want to run the last mile home. Amen. But I want to be here. Amen. When the young men take hold of it, I want to hand it to them without any tarnish upon it, without any stain upon it. The pure, unadulterated word of Almighty God. Take it, son, and run with it. Don't ever be afraid to trust it. Don't ever be afraid to follow. I'm trying to quit. To follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. He'll never lead you into anything you have to back out of. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm older and I'm slower and I hope I'm wiser. But I'll tell you what I'd do. If the Holy Ghost told me to, I'd charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen. I believe God. I believe God. I laid there and everybody said I was going to die, and I thought I was at times, and I might have if Fan hadn't said, you ain't going to. But I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm not afraid to die. That's what it's all about. But I don't want to die here, laying here, to where the enemy can laugh about it. I said, if you're ready for me to go, raise me up. Let me buckle on my gospel guns one more time. Let me fight one more battle. When I get ready to go, let me step out and die on the battlefield. How about you this morning? How about you? How about you young folks this morning? Could I challenge you? Hey, man, you got anybody that says, I'm ready to fight? Hey, man, I'll volunteer. They have to draft me. I'll go. Hallelujah. I preached too long. I'm sorry. Amen. Brother Keller had already eloquently. Man, I see things. So close. Don't get drawn into a battle that's not yours. Young preacher, can I talk to you? Get in the middle of the road. Plow down the middle of the road. Don't deviate to the right and to the left. Don't let anybody pull you this way or that way. Be your own man. Be God's man. It's lonely. At times you'll be misunderstood. But the old prophet said, the great eagle flies alone. The great lion hunts alone. And the man of God walks alone with his God. Amen.
Go ahead. Sure.
Thank you for tuning in to Holiness Preaching Online Podcast. If you would like more information about sending sermons to us, please send them to holyliving.dylan, that's D-Y-L-A-N, at gmail.com. That's holyliving.dylan@gmail.com. Always feel free to contact us. Once again, thanks for tuning in to our podcast.